Thank you. If you have your Bibles, we have a long passage to read so that we get a context of what God is doing. And I'm so amazed about what is happening even now. And I want us to have a reflection this morning on what it means to live the mission of God, living the mission of God. God has given us a mission as a church. And my prayer is that this morning we'll be able to reflect in our own lives and see where we are and how God is taking us on. So in Genesis chapter 40, I'll read through the 40 so that we get a context, and then a few verses also in 41. The Bible says, some time after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guards in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night, they both dreamed. And the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, each his own dream, and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph, and he said to them, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the cupbearer saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cakes baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hung the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Chapter 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, they came up out of the Nile, 7 cows, attractive and plump. And they fed in the reeds grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret the dream to Pharaoh. Verse 9. Then the cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guards, we dreamed, and on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with his own interpretation, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guards. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Amen. Father God, this is your word. We pray that, Lord, you speak to our hearts about how we can live this mission you've given us. Each one of us in the way you have destined for us to do. Bless us in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I intentionally took time to read this so that I don't have to explain to you what is happening, but I will be selecting and picking pieces from this so that God will speak to you and I about the mission he has for this church and the mission that he has for you as well this morning. So Joseph was brought out of the pit. He shaved, put on nice clothes, and appeared before Pharaoh. Something he had wanted to do 2 years ago. But it's happening now. And so if you read the accounts, he interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh said, you are in charge. Because he said there's going to be famine. There will be a lot of food for 7 years. And after that, there will be famine for 7 years. And Pharaoh said, you have to be in charge. He became a prime minister in charge of food affairs, maybe. So that there will be food to feed the whole world. The world at the time. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I'm praying that we will have a closer look into our own lives. And how that when God called us, we are living the mission he gave us. Each one of us. Because each one of us has a different part to play. And we need to know what God has called us for this morning. In this passage, I'm very much interested in 2 people. The passage that I just read to you. The chief cupbearer and the chief baker. 2 people who had dreams. But what happened was, when Joseph interpreted the dream for one, that person who was in prison was saved. It's all about salvation. And I want you to know that God saves us for a purpose. Not everyone gets saved. 2 people in prison had dreamed the same night, but then one was saved, one was killed. It's by grace that we are here. It's by grace. Not everybody gets saved. Have you ever asked yourself? Maybe in your family you are the only one who is saved. It's not by chance. God loves you. And God knows those who are His. But the point I want to make here is that when you are saved for a purpose. I'm sure when this man is, you know, it's quite interesting. When the interpretation was given to the cupbearer, there was hope for this other guy, the baker. He said, well, I can tell you my one. He wanted to be saved. And yet, it didn't happen. In fact, I admire the boldness. As an African, I don't have this kind of boldness to tell the guy in his face, this is your dream. Hey, you're going to die. You'll be hanged. I was speaking parables, you know. But there are times, you see, sometimes we apologize unnecessarily. God knows His word. Let it come as it is and leave it to God. He will do something out of it. But the point here is, this man was saved with a simple mission. You are saved. Your mission is, and he said two things. Please, when you go, remember me, number one. Remember me. When you go, remember me. Number two, mention me to Pharaoh. So I'm very convinced that this guy will say, oh, but that's too small. Oh, thank you. You've done a great thing to me. You've interpreted. I'm saved. I will do it quickly. And I'm very sure the first thing he did was when he got home, he couldn't stop talking about Joseph. You, that guy, you, he's so good. He interpreted and it came through. He's a man of God. But that was not his mission. His mission is remember me and mention me to Pharaoh. Yes, it's a good start. And I'm sure this guy gave testimony upon testimony about what God was doing. But there is something here that touches me and I want us to understand. God had a mission to save the world out of hunger. That was the plan. God had a mission. And within this mission, there were a lot of things that were going to happen through Joseph. And through Joseph, people had part to play. Some badly. Some people think that let's get rid of this man, throw him in a pit. But God, in His own wisdom, provides a way to get him out of a pit. He gets into Egypt. And someone says, you are so beautiful, you are so handsome, you are everything, you are mine. And God takes this man out, as the story said. But the most important thing here is that in the prison, God said, you, cupbearer, you are here for two reasons. Remember Joseph and mention him to Pharaoh. Maybe you are here. You think, but God, is it just to clean the table that you call me here? Look at how tall I am. Look at how nice I am. I can do this, I can do that, but not cleaning the table. But God says, in the process, that is your job. That is your job. It's a simple thing, but it's part of the whole. And I'm so amazed when you read verse 53 in chapter 41. He says, the 7 years of plenty had occurred in the land of Egypt, came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. And Joseph, as Joseph had said, and the famine was on all lands. The famine was on all lands. We need to take note. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread because of what God was doing. And when all the lands of Egypt famished, they cried out to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh directed them to Joseph. Verse 56, and when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in that land. Moreover, all the earth, that's what I'm saying, it was God's plan to save the world. All the earth came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy grain, because the famine was severe all over the world. People of God, the mission of God is to save the world. It's a global thing, but it begins in the prison. It begins where you are. It begins in this assembly. You have something that you are contributing that is global. You may think it's a tiny little thing, but I want you to know God is going to use it to save his world. On that day, when this wicked man by the name Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus and was hiding, Jesus said, come down today, I'm going to have tea with you. And people say, yo, this man doesn't know what he's getting himself into. When you read the account in Luke chapter 19, in verse 9, he says, Jesus himself said, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is the mission. The Son of Man, Jesus, the reason why he came, his mission is to save, to seek and save the lost. The lost of this world. And the church is to do this job. And you are in the church to be part of this mission. That's the basic, that's the introduction for you to know when I'm talking about this thing, so that you know that that is what God is doing. Jesus himself says, all authority in Matthew chapter 28 has been given to me. Go, therefore. In fact, actually, I was thinking about the three G's that we have in this church. We say, gather, grow, and go. I think let's change it. It should be gather, go, and grow. If we don't grow, if we don't go, we won't grow. We need to go. We need to gather here. And maybe one morning we'll come to church and say, church, praise the Lord, today we are going. We are out of here. And the same, that's the way that is coming. These seats have to be filled. These seats have to be filled. And we need to go. And by the time, when we go and we come back, we will grow. Amen. And so that's the mission God has for us. So number one, just as the cupbearer was, something was put in his heart, something was given for him to do, I want you to know this morning, what has God put on your heart? Number one. Number two, maybe somehow you've forgotten about what God has put on your heart. I want you to remember that. Every now and then, we need to remember. And number three is, to do what God has put on our hearts. Our church is so blessed. But when it comes to mission, it's not about hearing. It's about going. Mission is about action. And that's what I want us to know. So in the first place, as I said, for the cupbearer, his mission was, verse 14, only, he did, and I like the way he said, only, don't do anything else. Only remember me when it is well with you. Don't do it right away, but remember me when it is well with you. And please do me this kindness to mention me, Joseph, to Pharaoh. So get me out of here. I believe that the cupbearer's part was not getting him out of here. But he says, the moment you remember me, and the moment you mention me to Pharaoh, I will get out of here. So, get up, get me out of here. And so, the point is, this man went, and as I said, told the family, told other people about what wonderful, for me, the most important thing is the testimony. There was a testimony here. That this man was supposed to give to show what God has done. But the Bible in verse 23 says, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember. He forgot. Why did he forget? I think maybe somewhere along the line, he became fed up with the testimony of what happened to him. You know, when it gets well with you, sometimes you forget about your roots. You forget about the things that you've been through. But there are times it needs to remind you to know that it has been by God's grace. It has all been by God's grace. You were almost, yo, that guy died. Yo, God, how you brought me out of this. Thank you, Lord. Who did it? Joseph. Yeah, I remember Joseph says, sure, I should get to. And every day this man goes to Pharaoh. He was the cup bearer. The Pharaoh will not eat until the cup is in his hands. And yet he forgot. People of God, God has given us, it's a simple thing. God has given you something that you need to remember. You need to remember. And God is going to help you through that. In fact, Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. The Lord has been so good to you. Some of us, we've forgotten about our testimonies. How we came to know the Lord. Hey, how life was. We've forgotten about that. But I believe that if we continue remembering how far the Lord has brought us. Hey, there's a song we used to sing when I became a Christian. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. If you remember the things God has done in your life, I'm telling you, even when sin is crawling at your door, you say no, because you remember the Lord has been so good to you. Probably, as we are sitting here, God would want us to go. You know, when you become a Christian, and I need to mention this, God gives you love for Him. We call it first love. Once you become a Christian, and that's something you can cherish and hold on to, that you have love for the Lord. Sometimes you get such boldness that you don't know where it came from. It's because the Lord has saved you. And one, He calls you so that directly you can share your testimony and what the Lord has done to you. You can share what God means to you with others. That's one way. Another way is even giving towards what God is doing. It could be through your finances. It could be through your resources, your body, any strength, whatever that you have, God can use you to do that. Even helping others. Desire to have fellowship with others and even growing spiritually, that becomes a desire and you long for it. You long for it. But you know what? Like the cupbearer. As time goes on, we just shelve things and we forget. We forget about these things. And we become somehow selfish, thinking about our own. Yes, good to enjoy the Lord. Sometimes there are some of us, all we want to do is come in the presence of God the whole night, the whole day. Oh, hallelujah, I'm soaking in the Lord. Yes, it's good to soak in the Lord, but not forever. Because it's not soaking forever. It's soaking and getting power and get on with it. That's what it means. You soak, you get power, you get on with it. That's what mission is all about. Let's not be selfish. There are others there who also need this enjoyment. There are others there in our own families. Maybe it's our own children. And we forget about them. And so the cupbearer, my second point is, he realizes. And I just want us to look at the way he said this in different versions. After Pharaoh is struggling, and I don't know how many days that the Pharaoh tried to get people to interpret, and he's there all the time. After everything has failed, then he says, oh, I remember my offenses today. That is in the ESV. In the King James, he says, today I am remembered, I'm reminded of my shortcomings. The other version in New King James says, I remember my faults today. And the New Living Translation says, today I have been reminded of my failure. And I like the message. Then the cupbearer then spoke up and said to Pharaoh, I just now remembered something. I'm sorry. That's number one. I'm sorry. I should have told you this long ago. Long ago. You know, see the grace here. And that's what is coming through this morning. Yes, we will blow it. But the most important thing is, let's come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You gave me this mission. Lord, I forgot about it. Whatever name we give it, whether it's a fault, whether it's offense, whether it's a shortcoming, whether it's whatever, just come before God and remember. And remember, when you came to know the Lord, what was that thing that was burning in you for the Lord? What was it? You need to go back to it. You need to remember and tell God. in Revelation, this is what God told the church of Ephesus. He says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Brothers, all those words that I read to you, whether it's shortcomings and what you have to do is to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've not shared your word. I don't come. Lord, please help me. And then we'll be able to do that to the glory of God. I remember in the word of God, there was a time when Samaria was besieged. That means soldiers came and they just rounded the place. Nobody could go anywhere. So much that there was hunger in the city. And the Bible says sometimes what will happen is that they will release the doves. The doves will go out and eat mealies and mill them in their stomach and then bring them out into the city. And people were buying that expensive feces. That was the situation. That was the situation. But there were lepers who were at the gate of Samaria. And they decided, let's go into the camp of the enemies, the Syrians, and see what happened. They went there and there was food. Let me read what happened in 2 Kings 7, verse 8. It says, and when the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and they ate and they drank. Then they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went to hide them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it and went and hide them. Then they said to one another, hey, we are not doing right. We are not doing right. This is the day of good news. And if we are silent and wait until morning, punishment will overtake us. My brothers and sisters, this is the day of good news. There's so much bad news out there. There's so much dead news out there. But we are sitting here with the good news. Mission means let's take it to the people. And the Lord will change them. Our president needs the gospel. The ministers need the gospel. Our principals need the gospel. In fact, there are some pastors who also need the gospel. And that's our mission. In fact, sometimes when you are speaking to someone, you can realize, oh, how I wish you knew Jesus. Things will change. Then we go. We need to. Look, God will do his work. Just get on with what is it that God has called you to do. And he will do it. And so, they repented. But what is interesting is that when this man realized, he said, I remember my offense or my shortcomings and all that, he went back to his testimony. He went back to his testimony. And the Bible says, he said, when Pharaoh was angry, that is my third point. That is, you need, whatever God has laid on your heart, you don't just remember them, but you do it. When you have repented, you do it. So he says, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream of his own interpretation, a young Hebrew was there with us. Joseph said, remember me and mention me to Pharaoh. A young Hebrew, he had forgotten the name of Joseph. But at least he said a young Hebrew was there, a servant of the captain of guard. When we told him, then he went ahead to tell his testimony. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving us interpretation each according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, it came about. I was restored to my office and the cupbearer was hanged. Has the Lord saved you? Has the Lord redeemed you? Say so. What the Lord has done to you, just tell somebody. Sometimes you don't need to lift your Bible. Just tell what the Lord has done to you. And it will touch somebody's heart. The heart of Pharaoh was melted at this point. And he went. He went and said, get the guy in. He went and brought in Joseph. Your testimony is so powerful. Maybe it's about time we did our own tracks, you know. We've done it in the church before, whereby you look into your life and you write a short testimony about what the Lord has done for you. That will go a long way to save others when they read your testimony. You know, there was a testimony in my heart, and I shared with you last week about CCP. A lot of people have come to me and say, Benson, I was so blessed by that. It has really helped me. It has really helped me. People of God, the Lord has done so much for us. We don't have to do theology. It's not, we don't need those big words. But just what God has done will save many people. And their lives will be changed forever. And so, this man gave his testimony and things changed. Even with the lepers, the same way. After they've realized what we are doing is not right. The Bible says in verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 7, so they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we came to the camp of the Syrians and behold, there was none to be seen or heard there. Nothing but horses and donkeys and tents as they were. And that saved the nation that day. What is it that God has laid on your heart that you need to do? Do it practically. Is it directly sharing the word of God with others? Share your neighbors, your workmates. Share the word with them. Maybe giving ourselves to the work of God. Maybe you haven't done that enough. I mean, this morning we are talking about finances. Do you know that in the mission of God, there are some of us here, we will never stand and preach here. But God has given us the ability to get wealth, the ability to get into businesses, the ability to be able to contribute so that some people can move from here to Tajikistan. It's huge in the work of God. Every resources that we have, it could be that all that we do is giving some people lift from Mbali to come here every Sunday. It's a blessing in the work of God. So ask yourself, what is it that God has laid on your heart that you now need to do? You know, there are some of us that we say, Lord, if you will bless me. Ooh, if I think somebody mentioned that if I get a vehicle, I will give a lift to everybody. But when we get that vehicle, we look at the seats and say, oh no, we are interested in the seats rather than helping people. Or some of us, we have been blessed. We have been blessed just recently in CCP, unexpectedly. We were not expecting God. Our funding was supposed to be cut. But we caught something top up. Something was added to the money. Ask me, what did you do with, Benson, what did you do with that money? Did I use it to contribute to the work of God? Or now I straight away go to the mall. Immediately I see that I need this, I need that, I need that, I need that. And what I'm saying here is that we need, when God blesses us, let us be a blessing to the mission of God. And God will bless you even more. How's your fellowship with others like? This is action time. We've been talking about inviting people home to eat and all that. Do we have that desire that can change people's life? And so, the word of God says, as each has received gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength of God that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified. God may be glorified. And so as I conclude, we all are positioned to do the mission of God. And this church is one church vehicle that you can use to do that. Some we may have to do it on our own. Others we may have to do it with others. Maybe you are here, you don't even know Jesus. God loves you. And he says, I'm here for you. I want to, I want to draw you in so that you too can go and save others as well. It's never too late. He's here with us. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. And we say, come in your power and help us, Lord. That, Lord, we will remember our offenses, our shortcomings, and do, Lord, what you have called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that there will be a new day dawning in this church. That mission will become part of our lives. Wherever we are, that many will come to know your salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.